So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, put a marker there. And then also Romans chapter 12 and keep it open. So 1 Corinthians 2, put marker. Romans chapter 12, keep it open. And Christy, if you'll go back to that sermon or the title slide. Today we begin a sermon series called Kingdom Foundations. And let me hear you say Kingdom Foundations. All right, this side you got over here. Let's try it over here. Let me hear you say Kingdom Foundations. I just want to say thank you to Daniel Smith, to Cindy Hatcher, to my lovely wife Kelly, to Mark Sanchez, who came in from New Hampshire, preaching during the month of August. It was really awesome to see the church grow, and I wasn't the one up here. And that was, that, to me, that's a dream come true, because that means that we're beginning to equip and empower people to step into their calling, and they did an amazing, amazing job with that. But I'm telling you, I'm excited to be here again. Because this is something that's been brewing in my heart so deeply for several years now. That those that don't know our history and our story, where we came, where we were stars of the church, that we just love Jesus and we love the Bible, but we really didn't have an understanding of who Holy Spirit is and who the good Father is, and just really had a concept. We were trying to build church. And so we did things to build church. And in that process, God's grace is so sufficient, so incredible. He came just like he saved us. He came in the flesh to save us. He came to me and said, and really just had a direct encounter and said, I want to give you a vision for what my church should look like. And I'm not talking about like every church in this town. That's for that shepherd to be able to steward. But I knew for me that if I was going to father a church, what was it supposed to look like? And at first it's this, it's the kingdom of God has to take preeminence. It has to be the most important message we preach, is that the kingdom of God is at hand. And you know why? Because Jesus Christ began his ministry with, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist, who is the one that announced his coming, he began his ministry with, repent, for the kingdom of God is coming. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus walking up, and John goes, there he is. This is the one I've been talking to you about. The kingdom has come because the king has come. Jesus came to establish his rule and his reign over the entirety of the earth. And his main goal was to do it through family, not through relationship. And somewhere along the way with Israel's history, they had turned what was meant to be for relationship into religion, having to do it by merit or doing it by earning it or striving. And you could do a lot of good at a good effort, knowing the Word of God, applying good principles. I mean, good stuff happens when God's Word works every single day. If you apply the principle of God, it will work every time. Why? Because He honors His Word. But it's insufficient to be done from a man-driven, self-effort perspective. He wants it to be from a relationship, what we have access to by relationship. Not because we earned it, because he gives it. My kids have access by relationship to me, my time, my talent, and my resources. They don't have to do anything to earn those whatsoever. By relationship, they have access to my heart. Let's just say this. My wife and my kids have greater access to my heart, my time, talent, and resources than anybody else in this room will ever have. Because there's a level of intimacy in relationship. And in the same way, Jesus came to say this, all of you are God's kids. And you might be lost and wandering. And I love what that song says, how can I say I'm lost when you call me found? I mean, sometimes I found Jesus. Well, he wasn't missing. You were. And he found you where you were at and calls you into relationship. And so this series that we're going to be preaching over the next 12 weeks, I might even extend it to 13 because I've really been praying at 3. 12 was a nice number. But as Holy Spirit does, he likes to mess around with my box, all right? And so it's okay, all right? But what I believe that he's going to do is he's going to unpack some foundational stones that if you build your life on, it doesn't matter your church background. If you came from a Catholic background, Episcopalian background, a Baptist background, a no church background, a charismatic background, Pentecost, all those things, that's part of your history. But what we're saying is there's a common core to what we believe, and it's the foundations of the kingdom of God. So that we can understand the kingdom of God in such a way that we take the labels off our boxes and we become unified underneath the foundations or on top of the foundation of the kingdom of God. And so I believe God's going to do something powerful through this this time together. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 says this, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I want you to go ahead and declare that with me. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That should be a daily declaration that we make. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the things you need." It doesn't say seek first the principles of God. It doesn't say seek first the religious steps you're supposed to take. It doesn't say go seek the man of God on the platform, find out what God says. It says seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the right way, the right order that he has, and the things that we need in life that we so get stressed out about, those things will come into alignment as you seek first his kingdom. So it's so important for us to understand this whole series hinges on this concept of the kingdom of God. Today I want to talk to you about developing a kingdom mindset. Let me hear you say, develop a kingdom mindset. Developing a kingdom mindset is developing a way of thinking. It's developing a way of thinking. The Webster's Dictionary's definition of mindset is a particular way of thinking. It's a mental attitude, an inclination, a fixed state of mind. And so what we must learn to do is it's the mindset. It's a way of thinking. And here's what we do as humans. We so often get down to content. Let me hear you say content. So like, you know, and this would be kind of important. Content is important. If I have a glass and somebody pours a liquid into it, I want to know what the content of that is before I drink it. So it's not saying that content's not bad. Is it good for me? Is it poison? Right? Is it going to do something? So it's important to know what we digest, what we take in, the content. But what I want to tell you about this, about the kingdom of God, it's more important to know the way you process, the way you think about the content than even the content itself. Because you could have good content. If you've got your Bibles, hold it up in the air. Okay? That's the best content in the history of the universe. It is the word of God, it's God-breathed, it's God-inspired, it's God's word directly to you. But however, done with an improper mindset, it can become dangerous. Jesus, he told the Pharisees, in the scriptures, you search for eternal life. You think you're going to find them there, but you missed me, relationship. And in this process, they added all these other rules onto the content that God had given them, and it became a man-driven control, fear, shame, guilt, all that stuff. They were so worried that if we don't make up a bunch of rules for you, you might actually sin. Well, go figure. We were born into this world sinful beings. Of course we're going to sin. Jesus shows up and says, but I'm going to change that by changing your very DNA. It's not going to be how hard you try to behave well. It's going to be about your intimacy and your relationship with me through the blood of Jesus Christ. You're made brand spanking new. It means you're no longer a sinner, but now you're a saint in relationship with him. And so it's important that we, yes, read the content. We need good content. And for me, I kept going, Lord, but this seems like it's a simple message, but it's not a simple message. Here's the extent of the message. We're going to talk about the way that you think. It's not anything bigger than that, but when you think about it, the way that you think is a big thing. It's a big deal. Your background, your experience, good, bad, the ugly, the indifferent, all those things influence the mindset that you have. Remember, a mindset is a fixed way of thinking. And so if we have a mindset that is something other than a kingdom mindset, we're already behind the eight ball. You can be saved. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be serving in ministry, activating the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But if your mindset is not a kingdom mindset, it will be an inferior life. Anything other than a kingdom mindset will always lead to inferiority. I mean, that means so that every moment that I live, I have to examine myself. Am I living underneath a kingdom mindset or anything else? There's no point of listing everything else out. It's either God or it's not. Right? And so anytime, even if it's a good thing, let's go feed the homeless, let's go do this, and it's done from a heart that says, well, we want to go minister to people. Well, you don't have to know Jesus to go feed the homeless, do you? There's lots of great, great outreaches that do those things, but they don't have the mindset of Christ. But here's what happened when somebody with the mindset of Christ shows up into feeding the homeless. Read in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6, and you see where these Greeks believers have appointed some deacons. And you got Stephen, you got Philip, you have five other guys. And they're serving in the meal line. And in the serving of the meal line, because their mindset, they begin to release the kingdom of God right where they're at. So do we need to meet the needs of people? Of course. God, I mean, Jesus wants us to touch those felt needs. But more importantly than that, he wants them to have an encounter with his kingdom that transforms. I mean, it transforms a city, it transforms a nation, it transforms a world. You can look at and you can read. In an Old Testament example, Solomon writes to one of his father David's friends, says, it's so amazing what God has done in Israel. We don't even have an adversary. The Hebrew word for adversary is the devil. It's Satan. He says there's something that's happened in Israel that is so powerful that the devil doesn't even have a stronghold or a foothold into it. I'll tell you why. I believe it's because they had the wisdom of heaven living out. There's a kingdom mindset that took place. That's pre-Jesus. How much more should we, who have been redeemed by the Lamb and are filled, and the Lamb himself lives inside of us. The Lion and the Lamb lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside. How much more should we have an impact on our world? Because of that, we have something that Solomon did not have. It wasn't just a face-to-face relationship. It was a heart. The heart intermingled. The Spirit of God inside of you. I mean, that's powerful. So that should lead to transformation. And here's the thing. It's all going to come down to mindset. I'll tell you, as I've been preparing for this series and this message specifically, the Lord, I like to say the devil's been testing my mindset. No, the Lord's been testing my mindset. He's been pointing out the things in me that I've been standing in agreement with something other than the kingdom of God. And in that process, I acted out of something other than the kingdom of God. That stinks. That's a rude awakening to go, oh my gosh, Lord, I thought I was falling after you. He goes, yeah, you're falling after me. No shame, no guilt. But let me tell you, you're living underneath an inferior mindset. And I want more for you than that. Not just do I want more, I created you. I redeemed you for more than that. And so I kept going, all right, Lord, real things. The anniversary of 9/11, terrorism that's taken place in the world, does it have the opportunity for a mindset of fear to rise up? Absolutely. Is it based out of facts and reality? Absolutely. We would be foolish to say that it's not a scary thing if ISIS or somebody walked in. That'd be foolish. But am I going to take on that mindset? No. I'm going to take on a kingdom mindset that means I've got resources available to me that transforms the atmosphere. I'll give you a good example. Leif Hetland was telling the story this last year when he was in Pakistan. And the Lord had, Leif has seen over 1 million Muslims come to know the Lord through their ministry. And specifically, the Lord, he's watching TV, and this was a couple years ago, about a year and a half ago, there was an attack on the Catholic community in Pakistan. And it's devastating to Christian businesses and things like that. And he's watching this on TV, and the Lord says, I want you to fly to Pakistan. And he goes, well, what do you want me to do? What am I going to impact? Just get on a plane and fly. So he gets on a plane. He doesn't have a plan. He didn't know other than the Lord saying, you go. So he gets into a hotel room. He turns on TV, and the top imam in all of Pakistan's on the TV. And the Lord goes, I want you to set a meeting up with him. And Leif's like, maybe you haven't looked, Lord, lately. Are you crazy, right? That dude wants to kill me. And the Lord goes, just do it, son. So out of obedience, he kind of half-heartedly had one of his assistants call down, couldn't get a hold of him. The Lord says, no, I didn't tell you to have somebody call for you. I told you to go down there and set a meeting. So he walks in, sets a meeting. Long story short, the Lord opens up this opportunity, and the Lord tells Leif, tells him, you say exactly, you call him a man of peace. A man of peace. And Leif's like, yeah, but he's stirring up this hate right now. He goes, no, that's right. I'm telling you to call him according to his destiny, not his past. Amen. The imam was so blown away, he didn't know what to do with it. And do you think it was maybe the same way when Daniel went before Nebuchadnezzar? Or Joseph before Pharaoh? And here's this opportunity in the moment, and he begins to tell me, he says, I want you to hold a peace conference. I want you to get the bishop and the cardinal, the Catholic, you know, representatives. I want you to get the imams and all the representatives. I want you to hold a peace conference, and I want you to present to him a Man of Peace award. And so they pull all this together. The Lord just divinely pulls this thing together, and he calls them. He says, this is a man of peace. And then the man stands up, and in their language, they don't have a word for father or love, specifically, too. And he says, this man, Leif Hetland, on national Pakistani TV, the top imam in all of Pakistan, says, this is my good friend, Leif Hetland, who's the ambassador of love. You know what opened up from there? A stadium. Or not a stadium, but a large area to where they had well over 100,000 people come. And he says, I will protect you from any attacks. You're underneath my protection. And allowed them to hold a Christian conference, you know, it was a crusade. Worship, things like that. It was amazing. He says healing was taking place. Here's the greatest, I think here's one of the cool stories. There were so many that came out of it. But a man showed up that was a suicide bomber, strapped to the gills with a gun. And the second he hits the atmosphere, he peels that stuff off, and he walks up and repents and gives his life to Jesus. Why? The kingdom of God came. Because a man had the mindset of the kingdom and pushed away even rational fear for the sake of obedience to his father. And now a million Muslims have come to know the Lord. And it's growing. So what does that mean for you? You're going, that's great. My marriage is struggling. My finances are struggling. My health is struggling. My kids are struggling. I'm dealing with this, this, and this. I'm sorry. I know the weight of those things sometimes is so overwhelming. And far be it from me to say, get over it. I'm not going to tell you that. What I'm going to say is, I love you. More importantly, the Lord loves you, and what you're going through has not escaped his attention. It's not. He loves you so much it breaks his heart when he sees his children hurt. How many parents do we have in here? Raise your hand. Does it break your heart when you see your kids go through struggles? How much more is our good Father? But he has a solution found in Jesus. And what I would say is, while you're receiving the comfort of God, take on the mindset of the kingdom. Because if you don't have the mindset of the kingdom and you receive comfort, you have the potential of staying in a place of hurt that's perpetual. And that's not what God's got for you. He brings you comfort so he can heal you, so he can put you in a place of promise, of telling the good things that he's done for you. And you see it throughout Scripture. That's why Jesus did. The woman at the well, the man that was filled with a legion of demons, Martha, Magdalene. I mean, all these. Yeah, it was from Magdalena. Mary, Martha. Mary and Martha, her sister. Their third cousin, Mary of Magdalene. yeah, that's good. That's funny right there. But when Jesus shows up, what does he do? He transforms her life, right? So what does that mean for us? I had a bunch of scripture, and that's good, but I think God wants to do heart-to-heart to you right on this. The way that you're going to engage with this message, the way that this is going to be informative to you, the way it's going to be shifting is not because you learn the information. I don't think a lack of information is our problem. And you can look back. Let's just look at Adam and Eve, for example. They had a way of seeing. They saw literally, the way they took in information is it says there was a tree of life, there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so much so, I love the way Bob Hamp describes it. It says, you know, you could see this tree, it comes up the trunk and the limbs and the leaves, and then here's this piece of fruit hanging off. And that fruit was life itself. Had a way of thinking, a way of seeing, a way of perceiving the world around them. And why could they see life? Is because they were connected directly to the Father as source. And the moment that they traded in life for the knowledge of both good and evil. So often we say, well, I don't want to know the bad things. Well, it's probably wise, but good things can get you in trouble too. Because it can build you up so much you say, I don't need God because I know it all. That's a dangerous place to be. But what I need is a way of seeing, a way of thinking, a way of perceiving the world. And here's what Jesus did. He says, all right, Adam and Eve got disconnected from the tree of life. They got disconnected from the Father. I'm reconnecting you back to the source of life. So much so that now you can see again. You can see what life looks like. You can discern the knowledge of good and evil. You can go, I don't need that. I got him. And so it's so important that we continue to challenge the way that we think. Repentance is truly the think differently afterwards. Repentance is the think differently afterwards. Anything other than a kingdom mindset will always be inferior and lead to less than God's best. Let's ship around. Yeah, here we go. So how you think will shape what you think. How you think will shape what you think. When you take in information, how you think is going to determine what you do with that information. Is that a fair assessment? I told you this can be like, it's simple, but it almost can be heady. Don't get heady on me, okay? Don't try to go where you try to start wrapping your mind and rationalizing around this thing. All I'm telling you is that God wants to challenge the way that you're thinking about it on a consistent basis. So what you think will shape how you think. Kind of like a large block of stone in the hands of Michelangelo. They asked him, says, well, how did you come up with all this stuff? And he says, I could see the man trapped inside the block of marble. It was a mindset. It was a way of thinking that saw beyond what was just present, the facts of the situation, but could see the potential and the power. That's what happens when you come underneath the kingdom mindset. Well, you know, if you think about Leonardo da Vinci, the way you put a blank canvas in front of him, and what would you get? You get this masterpiece. And he didn't see the blank masterpiece, I mean the blank canvas. He saw the potential. It was a mindset. In the same way, the Lord wants to put you in positions of influence, whether it's with people or areas and environments, atmospheres, schools, governments, whatever it may be. And he wants you to see the potential. And when you take on a kingdom mindset, you release the solutions to your marriage, to your children, to your health, to your finances. It literally transforms the way that you think. You think differently. You don't just think different thoughts. You think in a totally different way, and you're thinking like Jesus thought. How do you interpret what you know, what you're seeing, and what you're reading? What are you thinking about? And my main question, I think, kind of for this today would be is, what if the way that you've learned to think, the way you've learned to process information is flawed? What if the way that you've learned, your background and history is flawed? It's always going to be inferior to a kingdom mindset. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you. And who does the transformation, by the way? God. This is not self-effort. Let God transform you. That means you've got to give up permission. If you set your will of saying, God, you're going to change this area, and this area, but not this area, he's not going to invade it. He will not violate your will. He's not going to do that. But instead, it's this invitation to let God transform us and load us into a brand new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Let me read this scripture real quick. Mark chapter 8, verse 14. Longer story, Jesus had fed the multitudes. You get in the boat. It says, verse 14, but the disciples had forgotten to bring any food on their travel on the next journey. They only had one loaf of bread with them in the boat. And as they were crossing the lake, Jesus warned them, says, watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. What does yeast do? You just need a little bit of yeast to be able to impact the whole dough, right, for it to rise, to grow into something. And he's saying is, beware of a way of thinking that is political and religious, because if you allow a mindset that's not my kingdom mindset, beware of the political and religious mindset. That's what he's saying. But look at the way they interpret it. They're thinking from a natural perspective. At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, why are you arguing about having no bread? Don't you know or even understand yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? You have eyes, can't you see? You have ears, can't you hear? Don't you remember anything at all? In other words, what he's saying is I've been revealing to you a way of thinking, a way of seeing the world around you. That's the kingdom mindset. And it's real easy to go back to default mode, which is the world. And they had forgotten what happens. And look what he says. When I fed the 5,000 with five loaves of bread, how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up? 12, they said. When I fed the 4,000 with seven loaves, how many large baskets of leftovers did you pick up? 7. Don't you understand yet? In other words, he's saying is, I'm trying to challenge the mindset that you're living from. This wasn't a word of condemnation. He's saying, guys, you're so close to the truth, yet you're so far away, because the way that you're thinking about it always goes back to man or goes back to the earth. Instead of, where do I first begin? And this does take intention on our part. When you're in the middle of a crisis moment, it's hard to stop your heart racing and, you know, the adrenaline and things like that and go, okay, what am I supposed to do? Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to have a kingdom mindset. I get that. But if you begin to train your mind, you train your life, train when you get into your prayer life, what are you doing? You're training yourself to have a kingdom mindset. When you read the Word of God, you're approaching it. Why? So you train yourself to have a kingdom mindset. When we get into worship like we did at the beginning part, what are we doing? We're setting an atmosphere so it trains you to be able to have a kingdom mindset so you see things as Christ sees things. And you begin to act out of your mindset. Because you're going to act out of your mindset. Whatever mindset you have, you will produce the fruit of that mindset. If you have a fear mindset, you will produce fear. If you have a shame mindset, you'll produce fear in the people around you. But if you have an abundance mindset, you'll learn how to be gracious and generous in the world around you, and people all of a sudden start to pick up your mindset. If you come in with a blessed mindset, a thankful mindset, it begins to infest the atmosphere around you. So much so that they catch what you've got, and they don't even understand it. But what are they catching? They're catching your mindset because of how you're approaching it. So how often during the day do you actually stop and question the way that you're thinking? How many times a day do you stop and question the way you're thinking? This is what I'm doing is I'm reading you what the Lord's been telling me. That was a question, direct question in my journal. How often do you stop, Jay, and question the mindset that you're thinking from? And I had to tell him, not often enough. I was going to him literally going, Lord, what are we supposed to do? Because we've been going through a long story. We sold our house. We're looking to buy a house, and it's been this journey. I remember telling my in-laws and Kelly, even my parents, going, I just feel so confused. I don't know what to do. Should we build? Should we buy this? Do we do this? It just felt confused. And so I was going back for the Lord, said, I'm praying for clarity. And he goes, you're thinking from the wrong mindset. You want to know why you're operating with confusion? Because you come underneath a confused mindset. Instead of saying, God, you're not a God of confusion. I have access to your wisdom now. And I kid you not, the moment I did that, peace. And I knew exactly what we were supposed to do. Exactly. But how long had I lived underneath that confusing mindset? A couple weeks. I was not a fun person to be around. Ask my wife. Because I'm like so stressed, and God, what's going to go on, and what are you going to do, and stuff like this, right? This is you get to see me on Sundays. You don't sit throughout the week. I'm a regular person, right? And the point is this: even I can come underneath the mindset that's not God's. But God's grace is this: the moment you come underneath the kingdom mindset, it changes. Repentance, think differently. Doesn't say think different thoughts. Think different content. It says think in a brand new way. Why? Because you had an encounter with the king in his kingdom. And that begins to influence the way that you think. So why do we go and pray for the sick? Why earlier did we pray for those, I don't know, 8 people, 9 people that have neck issues? Why? Because we have an encounter with the king and his kingdom comes. He wants to bring healing. I don't have to think about it. I just know that's what he wants to do. He wants to bring healing. And it's not me doing the healing. It's him doing the healing. It's awesome. You say, well, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Oh, gosh, well, if I do this. Dude, just fall passionately in love with Jesus. He'll help you. Learn how to take care of your wife's heart. Why? Because you're his bride. And he knows how to take care of a bride. Kingdom mindset. It's a challenge, isn't it? This should challenge us to go to a new level. Let me finish with this. You have the mind of Christ. I was going to read through 1 Corinthians 2, but let's just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Actually, let's go back to verse 13. I like this. This will give us more context. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. Mindset. The Holy Spirit will give you the mindset of Christ. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. Verse 16, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? He's quoting Scripture. He's quoting in Isaiah, I think it is, or Psalm. It says, who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. I get there are some secret things that you have to wait to heaven to get to. Right? You're on a need-to-know basis in that regard. But what this scripture tells me is we no longer have the excuse to say, well, those are just the Lord's thoughts. It says you have access to the mind of Christ, which means you have access to the way that he thinks. And the prayer requests that you have, and when you're looking for stuff like that, you have access to the very mindset of Jesus. Let me hear you say, I have the mind of Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. Go ahead and set your Bibles aside. Stand up with me. There's so much more to this. I could preach on this for an entire year. And the thing I realized as I was preparing for this whole series is I could preach on every one of these stones for an entire year and not get it. So it's the content's there. But we first must begin. If we want to understand identity in Christ, it begins with our mindset. If we want to understand that God's a good father, it must first begin with our mindset. Let me give you the number one key, and this is what I want to pray in impartation over you guys this morning. So how do I develop a kingdom mindset? Intimacy with Jesus. If you take nothing else away from this message, just know that you need to get intimate with Jesus. Heart to heart, mind to mind, with him. Let him transform you because it's God that's going to do it. So that means now, why is prayer important? Not because it's the rule to do. Because I want to know my Lord. Why don't we read the Bible? Because I want to know the heart of the Father as revealed through Scripture. Why do I worship? Because I want to connect and feel and taste and see and just be with him. My agenda in worship is nothing else. It's not to do something. Sometimes, I'll just say this, and Christy, I know you agree with me on this, honestly. We can turn worship into an idol. We like the idea of worship and music and things like that, and we miss the king in the room. Because we have an agenda other than him. Mindset. Come on now. That's a good word right there. So go ahead and why don't you grab hands with people next to you? And we're going to pray for them because they need a lot of prayer. So Father, we just pray right now that you are a relational God. I pray for every single person present that they feel the connection with you through the connection of the hand that they're grabbing right now. That you are a real God and that you want to encounter us. I pray right now that you would just bring a full expression of your Father's love over everyone here. Let them experience Holy Spirit come, Kingdom of God come. I pray, Lord, for a baptism of your love, just a wash from the top of the head to the bottom of our feet right now, in Jesus' name. That, it, God, we stand in agreement. This is that you transform us. So out of our will, we give you permission. Transform us, God. Renew the way that we think so that we might know your perfect and pleasing will in every area of our life. Now put your hand over your own heart because you need prayer more than anybody else. Father, repeat after me, Father, I am your child. And today, I pledge to live with a new mindset. I give you full permission to transform the way I think, transform the way I live, and transform the way that I love. I receive your love right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand. He's good. Praise God. So here's what we're going to do. Parents, I'm going to release you guys to go get your kiddos, but we're going to have our altar ministry team up here to pray. So if you have a prayer need for anything whatsoever, whether that be an illness, that's praying for somebody else, you need deliverance, you need anything of those things like that, come forward. We believe that the kingdom of God is still here. If you got healed earlier of your neck, let somebody know. Pray for somebody. And we believe that God's going to continue to do more. So we love you guys. Remember, life group leaders, they're having a meeting here after church to be able to do it. And then life groups kick off. Y'all have a great week. Love you.